Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
You know, Tara, the Lord graciously crossed our paths many years ago after we had both completed our first adoptions.
Yes.
We didn't know each other at that time.
We did not.
And we both chose different agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And we both were parenting four children and trying to navigate all the ups and downs of adding to our nest when we met.
Yes.
So I feel pretty confident saying that the Father knew we needed one another.
That is very true.
So what I want to talk about today, Tara, is choosing an agency. I know this was a big decision for Kevin and I. And with our first one, we were very comfortable in choosing a smaller agency that was close to our home within our state. But there's different ways of doing that. There's, different types of adoption: domestic, private domestic, foster to adopt, international. And that's a whole new pathway to bringing a child into your home.
It really is. And I think couples often begin the adoption process and they think, I don't even know how to start. How do you know if an agency is reputable? How do I know if this is going to work best for my family? We get that question a lot. How did you know which agency to choose? And I feel like that we each have different personalities, and that will determine our need.
Well, and you made a great statement to me one time, like, it's years of working with this agency.
Right.
So it's very important, the adoption agency or the fostering agency or just working through the state if you choose to not use an agency and go straight, through the state.
Mm-hmm. So obviously the beginning of your adoption journey is determining, are you going to do domestic, are you going to do foster, or are you going to do international? And so after you've made that determination, you have to ask yourself, what kind of support do you need?
Right.
What is your family need? What are your personalities going to be that are going to help you determine what agency would work best for you?
So how involved do you want them to be in your life?
Yes, okay. Right. And so one of the questions that you have to ask yourself as well, because there are adoption agencies all over the country, is I think the first most important one is, do you want to be able to have a face-to-face conversation with your agency? Do you want, when you're in the middle of it, to be able to drive to their office and sit down with your social worker across the room and say, I need help with this. I don't understand that. Because that's going to help you be able to say, okay, well, then I need to keep our, circle, our radius of agencies that we're willing to look at within a certain mileage from our home.
And that was very important with me with our first adoption. I didn't have answers, mm-hmm. and I just needed someone to hold my hand. It was a Christian agency
right.
that we felt the Lord leading us to do, and it was an hour from my home.
And ours was vastly different. Our first of the three adoptions that we did, we chose an agency that was not a Christian agency, that was in the Northeast, very, very far
wow.
from our home.
Yeah.
And the reason that we ended up choosing them was because when we were doing the research on the different countries from which we could adopt, we found that this particular agency was incredibly reputable, very experienced, had years of experience in the Philippines. And when I called them and got their program director, I just knew whether she's 16 hours from me or next door, I'm going to be able to call her and get a prompt reply, and I felt really comfortable. But that was a lot of prayer on the front end.
Right.
So feeling like the Spirit was really leading us in that direction.
Did she necessarily hold all the same beliefs you did?
No, she did not. But at the same time, it is a, this is going to sound odd, it is a business.
Right.
And so
right.
I wanted someone who had been doing this well. They're very child-centered, which we've talked about.
Yes.
Being very important when you're choosing an agency, mm-hmm. making sure that they are finding the right family for the child and not just bringing lots of families in and just match.
Right.
So they were very interactive with us, but it was at a distance, and it was, through emails and through phone calls. But we didn't hold the exact same thoughts on every aspect of life, but she was very experienced and really helpful and very knowledgeable, which was really what I needed.
Right.
I didn't necessarily need that face-to-face. I just needed to know she's done this before a lot, and she's going to be able to help walk me through
exactly.
this. And she was phenomenal.
And so what I hear you saying is good agencies are centered on children.
Yes.
Right. They're more focused in finding homes for children.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Very
it's
good.
Far more about the child to the family, finding a family for a specific child than finding a child for a family.
And since your first adoption was international,
yes,
let's just focus on that.
Okay.
An agency for international adoption. So in-country travel was very important to me. I was nervous to go over to China, be there without my husband. A friend went with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was nervous about that. And so what was very important to me is that they navigated that well.
Yes.
And so I asked people.
Mm-hmm. Asking those questions to your agency specifically for this topic of international is really important. And if you call them, are they calling you right back within a reasonable time frame? Or
right,
is it a week
right.
later? But one of the questions that I asked a lot was in-country travel experience. So who from your agency takes care of us when we're there? Am I kind of on my own? What does that look like? And one of the most valuable resources for us was when we sort of narrowed down some of these agencies just through, you know, Google search or asking other people who they used.
Yeah, that's key.
When we sort of narrowed that down, then I specifically asked, do you have references that I can call? And they any agency that's worth their salt is going to have a whole list of references.
Right.
There are going to be people all over the country that have used them. And to be able to then call and ask these same questions to agencies that you're going to also then ask to the references and say, what was your experience in country? And you have to weigh those, you know.
You can't believe everything you read on the internet
That's true.
Some people, when they get home with their children, they're tired, they're
right.
weary. Sometimes they can be disgruntled. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they had a little glitch in their travel. Who doesn't?
Right.
And so,
right.
And let me be clear here. If you're considering an international adoption,
mm-hmm.
again, you need an agency that you can work with for a couple of years. It is a long process now.
And some of them are even 5 years,
right.
6 years. And
right.
so it's going to need to be someone who has been in the business for some time. I'm not saying that, you know, other places you couldn't go to, but you just want to make sure that in 5 years, are they still going to be in business?
Right.
One of the most vital pieces of information you can receive is, are they accredited
yes.
through the Council on Adoption? And that's coanet.org, and that's the Council of Accreditation. And so agencies have to go through some really stringent processes to become accredited, but they even have a list on their website of agencies that have passed the accreditation and then ones that are currently looking to be accredited. So those are super important, you know, in the States, to be able to look at the Better Business Bureau and say, is there anything that was really wrong with this agency? Just do your back research to make sure that they are going to be reputable.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I requested informational packets from
yes.
several different agencies.
Me too. I had a whole stack of them.
Right. And that really helped. I like to hold a hard copy and read through things. And that helped me.
One of the other questions that I asked the agencies that I contacted for our family was, how many children were placed
that
last year?
That is very good information. That's very important. Very important.
Were there any failed adoptions?
Yes.
Were there any, you know, issues on either side where you got, you know, incorrect information and then the family changed their mind, or those kinds of things are important. How many children actually, is it a pilot program? And if it is, then I have expectations going into that. Or is it a program that's been, you know, going on for a long time?
Exactly. And pilot programs, that's a good point. We considered stepping into one. Some of our staff behind us did.
Mm-hmm.
Some younger couples did. And it takes a lot of patience.
It does.
But this agency was solid. They've been around
mm-hmm.
a long time, and they did it well. And
right.
they were very honest up front. This
mm-hmm.
may work, and it may not. We feel that
right.
it will. Because they're watching government changes.
Yes. And to be able to have an agency that's worked in a country
yes.
for a period of time, like if you're a real risk taker and you want to do a pilot program, I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as you know that going in. Well, the final thing that I really looked for with international adoption, and honestly, I didn't know this with our first adoption, but I kind of learned over the years that it's a vital piece of information, is how they help you post-adoptively.
Very good. Right. So That's a great point. Yeah.
Do they have resources to help you? What about, you know, taking trips back to their home country? Do they have, those are not necessarily deal breakers, but boy, they are beneficial. We used two separate agencies. The first two were with one, the larger agency that's in the Northeast. And they do things even now. They have programs that you can contact birth family. They help you find birth families. They do birth country visits. Those are things that we have not utilized yet, but they're there.
Right.
And they're really pouring back into the country. And they're looking for ways to help the children there. And the second agency that we used was much smaller. It was less of a handholder because we knew what we were doing, but they don't have those same things. So ultimately, it's not that big of a deal, except that our first two kids have that opportunity and our third one does not.
Right, right. Very good, very good. Now, let's change gears here a little bit, and let's talk about doing a domestic adoption and stepping into foster care.
Right.
So with foster care, if you feel that's the way the Lord is leading your family through foster care, you have two options, from what I understand.
Right. The first option is to go through your state Department of Family and Children's Services office, be trained by the state, and be directly involved with the social workers who work on the state level. The second option is to go through a private placing agency. And many of those are Christian-based, some are not, but they're all child-based, and basically the state contracts with them. So if they, the state doesn't have enough families, they will contract with these other agencies to be able to say, hey, can you help us place these? And they have their own set of training. It's all the still the same state requirements, but you are working with specific people that might be really close in your area. And your son-in-law and daughter are going through a private placing agency.
They are. And we noticed that it was a little, it cost a little money for them to go through that agency, just some things that the state would pay for, basic requirement things the state would pay for, that they had to pay for by using a private agency.
So what were some of those things? Do you know?
Some of those things were just some of the medical testing they had to have done. Just some basic things like that. Maybe going and getting things to, you know, make sure their home was equipped correctly. But they're still in the toddler stage,
right.
So they were already there. But, you know, in our state alone, 13,000 foster children.
Yes. With only 3,500 foster families.
So pick away and go for it.
Exactly.
Because God's calling his people out to do this. And what a picture of the gospel.
Right.
And we need the church to step up. Just let us make a plug there. And to open their homes to foster children.
That is exactly
to
right.
To help in some way.
And you know, just like with if you're doing an international, domestic, or fostering, you can contact those people and you're just going to have a sense that this is the right way. Let's walk in it. So it may be that you have an amazing state social worker that you connect with really quickly and you think, wow, I would love to work with her long term.
Right.
She
and
knows
and
what
she's
doing.
You and I have had that experience.
Oh, we have.
Just have a great friend who's a social worker.
Yes.
And I would not need it in that county.
Right.
I would not need a private agency. But in the county that we're in, you and I, that we live in.
It's a little more complicated.
It's a you know, we live close to a very large city, and the county's big, and it's more complicated.
It is. And some of the things that some of the private agencies provide, I think, are really amazing. Some of the ones in our area provide things like specific respite care through their agency. So it's their respite families who are providing, you know, help for their family. So it kind of becomes a community. They do things like Christmas parties and help you with purchasing Christmas presents if you need it. They provide a babysitting service once a month. Those things are amazing.
They are.
That you're not necessarily going to get if you live in a large metropolitan area and you're working through the state system. So it just sort of depends. When you call each place, it really just depends on how you connect with the different agency people that you speak with.
And my daughter's in another county, different from the other two we were talking about. And she stepped into it thinking, I'll just go through a county social worker.
Right.
And realized that she needed, like you said, with our first adoption, a little more hand-holding.
Right.
And she wanted someone to meet with her a little more and share mm-hmm. with her a little more, and that didn't have such a heavy caseload.
Right, right. And I think those are just things that you know about yourself, and that helps you make a determination about the direction that your family goes.
Right, right. And another thing for me on choosing an agency is I had other children in the home.
Right.
And I knew that they were going to want to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
They were teenagers at the time. Mm-hmm. Some are now married, you know, moved off. But at that time, I needed someone I knew my teenagers could kind of connect with as well.
Right.
And that proved to be invaluable.
Right. How did you know, because you all used a faith-based, a Christian agency for your first two adoptions, is that right?
The first one.
And then how do you know? I mean, should Christians just use faith-based agencies?
Well, we needed that the first time. And I would not say, if Christians only use faith-based agencies, then where are the other kids going to go?
Right.
And so that was my point. So why not infiltrate that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some Christian families to also right. go into some secular agencies. But I found within the secular agencies, there's a lot of believers working there.
Right.
And it was just a great experience for us. Now, I'm not saying we didn't disagree on some. We had
sure.
we had a very intense conversation one
I remember
day
that.
About bringing that older, you know, our older son into our home with two younger girls. But we knew it's what God called us to.
Right.
And so we hung in there with the agency. Mm-hmm. I was able to do that. That's not quite my personality, but I was able to do that because my husband was on a conference call with me that day.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, he was communicating with the agency as well.
Right.
And so that really helped. I will say that the person who wrote our home study,
mm-hmm.
Every single time was a believer.
Which is awesome.
And that really
and ours
helped.
Was too.
Right. And that really helped in our home because that's, you know, Christ is the foundation of our home. He's
mm-hmm.
He's the focus of our home. He's the head of our home. And so I can't hide that.
Right.
Nor do I want to.
Right. And it does just kind of help ease and make you feel better about the fact that you can share openly.
Yes.
And you're coming from the same worldview. And so I think that you just, I prefer to have a Christian social worker come in my home because I know that we are coming from the same worldview.
Right.
I know that's not going to be the case for everybody
right.
to be able to do that, but the Lord will cover all of that and take care of it. But you do have to go in knowing, okay, if I'm going to use an agency that's not faith-based, that we may have some differences in worldview, and that's okay as long as the whole point of it is to bring a child into your home safely to provide a family for that child and for that child to have a family.
Now, another way that you can go through an adoption is just through a private lawyer.
Correct.
And we were called one day about taking a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter and her husband, our other daughter and her husband were praying that the Lord would bless their home. And so that was done through, she got our name. From,
right.
We were just connected
mm-hmm.
through a brother in Christ. And she got our name and we walked through that with a private lawyer
mm-hmm.
who's turned out to be just a dear friend.
Right. So domestic infant, you can do either way with a private lawyer who does adoptions or through a domestic adoption agency. And some of the questions that I have spoken to many friends who've adopted domestically and brought babies home, and some of the things that they either asked ahead or wish that they had asked ahead are things like, how does matching work with birth mom
yeah,
and with us?
That's vital to know that.
It is really important. And one of the things that I thought was a great question to ask is there counseling for birth mom from your agency?
Wow.
Because this is a whole family approach.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a sweet birth mom who is making a decision whether or not she's choosing to parent or not parent this child. And that woman is an individual who's going to need to be able to have help to be able to navigate that whole process. So there's no coercion at all, so that they're making a plan together and saying, you know, am I able to parent this child or am I not? It's not just about us getting a baby. It's about this birth mom as well. And we need to honor her in that. So what is available to her?
And our lawyer friend, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. She just falls in love with these birth
mm-hmm.
moms. Our birth mom was in a great crisis,
mm-hmm.
in a really hard spot in life. And
mm-hmm.
she just has been alongside her the whole way. Right. I appreciate that.
I do too. And even after the baby is born and placed,
oh, right.
What kinds of things, how are we supporting birth mom? How is the agency going to support birth mom as well?
And our lawyer protected our privacy and
yes.
her privacy.
Right.
And as much as birth mom wanted to, birth mom wanted to know a little bit more about us, not names or anything
right.
like that, but it just helped, you know, ease her mind. And so our lawyer was just a blessing to mm-hmm. to navigate things we couldn't do on our
right.
own.
Right, right. So one of the other questions that I think is important to ask is, especially when you're bringing home an infant, is how does that agency representative guide you when you arrive at the hospital? So when you're talking about your birth mom's in a room and you're over here, mm-hmm. and so you're all in the same hospital, maybe she has family or friends and you have family or friends. And so that's kind of a tricky situation, especially if it's not a fully open adoption, if it's a semi-open or a closed adoption. So your agency representative, how does that work in the hospital? I would want to know that.
Right, right. And so for us, our daughter and her husband were overseas. The baby came very, very early, had to be hospitalized. And I remember that moment when our lawyer came to me, and so I was there with the baby as the other grandmother was, and came to me and said, birth mom would like to see you. Mm-hmm. No names.
Right.
And I just stopped outside the hallway of the hospital. Mm-hmm. Baby was at one end of the hospital, smaller hospital. Birth mom was at the other. And I just prayed and I said, Lord, give me the strength mm-hmm. to love her.
Right.
And the Lord placed upon my heart that I want you to go and give her value.
Yes.
And so that's what I did. I mm-hmm. got a little gift together for her mm-hmm. of just some basic toiletry items that would make her feel special mm-hmm. and went in and I just helped her clean up.
Right.
She was in a bad spot. And so
there has to be somebody kind of guiding that process that can mm-hmm. can be able to help you all, both parties, navigate this situation.
Right. And she did that. Our lawyer did that just beautifully.
So I would want to know how that works.
Right.
I think that's super important on the front end. And then to be able to talk to families who've utilized this agency. So how did that go at the hospital? Because I know people who've shown up, flown to a different state.
Oh, yeah.
Shown up.
Most do.
Not had
yeah.
any agency representation. And then it was sort of call me if you need something. Well, I just feel like that would make me uncomfortable.
Right.
I think I would want somebody there to say, you're my advocate and her advocate and help us to be able to do this in a way that honors everyone.
Because you need an advocate while you're waiting that waiting time mm-hmm. for mom or whatever the state laws are
right.
for birth dad, birth mom. They have, you know, time to change their mind.
Yes.
Before they sign mm-hmm. away all their rights. That's when your lawyer is very, mm-hmm. Just a trump card for you and all that.
That is true. That's true. One of the other questions, because we know people who have done domestic adoptions and they've had birth moms choose to parent after the baby was born, which is great. If they have great support and feel like they can do that, that's obviously the best potential for the family to stay united. So one of the questions that I would want to know is if there is a failed adoption, if birth mom chooses to parent, what happens to those thousands of dollars that we've already given you?
That's great.
Is
right.
that
you need to know that going
you
in?
You do, because you know you have to know, and because sometimes the money goes toward birth mom expenses, like maybe she needs help with housing or clothes or stuff like that, and so that's not a fee that you've paid the agency. That's money's that you've paid to be an assistance to birth mom. So it's just good to know all those things on the front end so that you can make an informed decision and not be, you know, surprised at any point through the adoption.
Right, right. We know from his word over and over, he whispers in our ear, he instructs our heart, he navigates this because fostering in an adoption is totally in line with the heart of God.
That is
and
exactly true.
And he cares about every step of the process.
Yes. There will be
does.
Ups and downs no matter what. No agency is going to be perfect.
Right.
But you can find out what people's experiences with strengths and weaknesses of the agency and recognize you're going to be working with them for a long time. And being able to weigh the good and the bad.
That's right. So there are no perfect agencies,
no.
But there are things to look for.
Yes.
There really are. Well, thanks for joining us today. You've been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home. This is a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast or our conversation about choosing an agency or other resources, visit nam.net /sendrelief.